we have to get to the place where we believe that we're always receiving something from our Father. Because it's very easy. You know, a lot of people say that you're in the blue funk. Funk comes in all sorts of colors. You know, and it's very easy to get in one if we don't realize what we have. You know, we are very good, myself included, at complaining about what I don't have. But we need to get very excited about what we do have. Because we serve a God who's more than enough. So that means in any situation we have more than enough to get through. You know, there are other issues involved, and we're going to talk about, we may talk about some of them today, but we're going to be talking about them because we've allowed, well, I'll say it this way. Usually, you know, we had a tradition where we would start off reading John 3:16 before every teaching service. Now, Pastor Ed may do that. I may at times do that. But God gave me some different instructions. We're going to start off reading 2 Corinthians 5:17 because he said the problem is that most folks don't understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. He said most don't even understand that they are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You know, so if you don't understand that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, nothing's going to change. And everything, when you receive Jesus Christ, everything should have changed. Everything. So we're going to start today. This is a new year. The message is forget the past, push towards the future. Because in order to get to the future, we can't just stand around and wait for the future to happen. You know, God said in Jeremiah 29, you know, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Some translations say to give you hope and an expected end. I like the translations that say to give you hope in the future. But we think that means that we can just stand around in la-la land and the future God has for us is just going to happen. Oh no, there's some things that we need to do. And I'll say this now, I'll probably say it again. One of the biggest stumbling blocks for believers is patience. They don't want to wait. Pastor Clinton taught a message once about it. We're in a microwave society. And it's even faster than that now. But we want it to manifest. By the time we get to and amen, we want it to appear. Okay. And when it doesn't, we're like, all right, what's happening? Okay, I tried that. This didn't work. No. I was talking to God about this around 7 o'clock last night. And that's what I do. I sit down in front of the computer and talk. I'm like, okay, God, you're not giving me anything. What's going on? We have a conversation just like I'm talking to another person because I am. I'm speaking to my Father. And, you know, he always gives me analogies because, you know, he knows I love them. And he said to me, he said, tell the people, athletes can't endure. Oh, no, he said, The amount of endurance that an athlete has is dependent on his training. We run races. You've seen people run races. They run sprints and distance running and all of those things. Or even they play tennis and it goes past three sets. You know, they have placed five sets. And some can't. They poop out after the fourth set. Why? They didn't train to go five sets. They didn't train. The word says we have to run with patience the race that's set before us. The reason we can't run with patience is because we haven't trained ourselves to go the distance. So we can't endure. And we need to understand that the only way we're going to be able to endure is if we increase our training. And training needs to be intense. As an athlete, I, hear me clearly, I hated practice. Okay. I so hated practice. But I went. And I practiced hard. And the games were easier than any practice I ever attended. But that's the way it should be. That's what I mean. When we practiced, it was like championship game conditions. And when we hit, the only thing that I didn't do is I didn't do the 5 mile runs. Not because it didn't get me in the type of shape that I needed. So I did something different. And when I showed the coach what I did, he left me alone. I mean, that's because I needed to be in shape. Well, I'm guilty. I know nobody else is. But I'm guilty of not putting that same intensity into my spiritual training. See, I trained the way I did because of the position that I played. We don't know what position we're going to be wind up in, but we know where we are right now. So if we train to exceed right now, when God wants to move us somewhere else, we'll already be a baseline. And then we just kick it up a notch. But the reason we can't endure is because we haven't trained to endure. And the reason we haven't trained is because we don't like training. I mean, that's just what it, we don't like it. I don't know one player, and all the people I played with, I don't remember one ever saying they look forward to practice. Nobody liked practice. You know, and you don't see the relevance. I was talking with a young man, former member of the church. He's actually quite good. And I went to one of his games, and I watched them do their drills. And his coach never told him that the drills they were doing was actually movement they should be doing during the game. And, you know, they do this drill where you get the ball, you throw it to the guy on the right, you go behind him, he throws it to the left, go behind, and this guy goes down, gets a layup. Well, but that's the way you're supposed to move during a game. You steal the ball during a game, you kick it to the sideline, go behind the player, go to the basket, he kicks to that one, ball goes in, score. Well, he just grabbed the ball and just took off down the middle of the court, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, what is he doing? So I talked with him after the game, and I said, did you know that drill, that the thing that you guys do? He said, oh, yeah, we just do that to loosen up. I said, no. you're practicing movement on the court. I said, remember you stole a ball in the middle of the court. What happened? He said, oh, well, they stole it from me. I said, yeah, because you just took off down the middle of the court. Why didn't you kick it to the side, run behind him? Go? He was like, I didn't know that was a play. He wasn't properly trained. And so we have to make sure that we are properly trained, because we keep getting caught up or drawn into worldly issues and attitudes and habits and look for worldly resolutions, and it's not working for us because that's not who we are. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We have to do things differently. Differently. You know, yeah, sometimes, I told someone recently, yeah, sometimes I feel like I could go back and do it the other way because it seemed easier. You know, but it was wrong. But it's not who I am now. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you need to tell that to your neighbor. Say, I'm a new creature in Christ. And I'm going to learn exactly what that means. Okay. Because just saying it won't do anything for you unless you know what you're talking about. Amen. So here we are in 2018, 19. Thank you for not letting me take you back. And regardless of what you went through, you made it through. You made it through. Give God a hand for Okay. See? Even though everything didn't go right, we made it through. Even though people got on our nerves, we made it through. But what I want us to understand is, no matter what you went through in 2018, when 2019 rolled in, choice rolled in with it. A choice rolled in. And whether you like it or not, everybody has to make a choice. Look at Philippians 3. Not going to share a lot of scripture with you today. The ones we share is enough. And for this one, I'm in the King James Version. And I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. It reads, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." How many things? All right, "this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Now, Paul is saying, look, I don't understand all of this stuff yet, but this is what I do. I forget the things that are behind. I forget them. And I reach forth. I don't reach backwards. I reach forward to those things which are before, not those things which are behind. I'm going after what's before me. And it says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the reason we have to press is because there's going to be opposition. There's going to be stuff in the way. And the thing about it is, the Bible's telling us this, and then when the stuff shows up and we have to press through, we get excited, we get anxious, we get upset. We want to quit. Why is this so hard? If it wasn't hard, you wouldn't have to press through. You have to press. There are times, more so when I was training, didn't happen nearly as much in the games because of the training, but I decided in order to get in shape, and I've told you this before, I lived on Beach 41st Street in Far Rockaway, and I would take the bus to Reese Beach, which is around Beach 156th Street, and run back home in the beach sand. In the beach sand near the boardwalk. Not out near the water where it's nice and flat. No, in the boardwalk where you step down. You know what I'm talking about? Feels like the sand is pulling your leg back. I did that every day for 5 days. And then I'd get home. When I got home, I lived on the 12th floor. I'd run up the steps to the 12th floor, take the elevator back down. Run up to the 12th floor, take the elevator back down. Run up to the 12th floor. I mean, I did it until it felt like my heart was going to explode. And then I did it once more and then stopped. I went home, toweled off, changed clothes, went to the park, and spent an hour or two practicing one or two moves. That was it. And then after that, played a game where I could use those moves in a game condition. That's what I, because I knew I needed to be in shape, and there were times in that process. When I first started running, by the time I got to about Beach 148th Street, I was sucking wind. And I had to press. I was going. Sometimes that, you know, the run turned into a jog, turned into a walk, turned into a slide. But I kept going. And then it would happen around Beach 130th Street. Then it would happen around Beach 120th Street. Then it wouldn't happen at all. Because as I kept going, my endurance increased. leaps and bounds. But I had to press through the tiredness, the achiness, you know, dealing with the two-legged and four-legged dogs under the boardwalk. You know, I had to deal with all of that stuff, but I had to press through in order to get to the prize. I couldn't just sit there, you know. Today, it seems that the young people think, okay, let me get 6,852 tattoos all over my body, buy some sneakers for $400, and bingo, I'm a basketball player. I don't think so. No. All you're doing is creating an impoverished condition for yourself, because that money you spent for the tattoos and the sneakers you need for food and clothes and tuition and other things that'll really help you out. But we've got folks so programmed that they're shortcuts. Well, no, they're not. There are no shortcuts to this. You have to work. You have to practice and practice and practice. You have to be trained. You have to put the training to use. Otherwise, you don't go anywhere. Not only don't you get anywhere, but you don't experience victory. You just experience defeat. And that's where choice comes in. We can wallow in the past, or we can forget the past. It's your choice. You could do it whichever way you want. You can press on to what lies ahead, or you could stay stuck in what's behind. It doesn't really matter how you feel about it. You have to make a choice. Say, I don't want to make a choice. You have to make one. There's no way out of it. If you've grabbed hold of the truth that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus and make the choice to forget the past and press on, you'll be fine. This is what God told me around 8:28. And I do that with significant things like that. I timestamp them. He said, your life, listen to what he said, your life will always be found in front of you. You will never find your life behind you. You'll always find your life in front of you. So there's no reason to look back or go back. We should be looking ahead. In Deuteronomy 30:19, God said, I place before you life and death, blessings and curses. Then he said, choose life. Hallelujah. I put before you the past and the future. Right. Choose the future. Yes. That's what it is. Don't choose the past. Choose the future. Yeah. When we choose life, we're choosing to press toward the mark. If we choose to continue to wallow in our path, we're choosing death. And we're called to press. I'm going to take a few moments, and we're going to look at some words. And the first word we're going to look at is forgetting. I'm not going to pronounce these Greek words, because all they do is confuse everybody. Okay, I'll just tell you what they mean. Forgetting is taken from a compound Greek word, and it describes something that's finished, done with, or obsolete. They portray the idea of something, listen to this. Forgetting portrays the idea that this is something you should turn away from and forget. It's also used to depict something that needs to be put aside, deliberately ignored, purposefully discarded, and completely forgotten. Completely forgotten. So why are we allowing the enemy to tell us, well, you know what you did when you were 15, 13, 10, last year, 2 years ago? But the word tells us it's something that we should be put aside and deliberately make it a point to ignore it. Yes. To ignore it. Right. See, well, I'll get to that. Listen to this. Because this is where a lot of us were. because we're moving on from there. It indicates something that may have really been true in the past, but now it's no longer applicable to you. I know with the young ones, they haven't done anything to understand that. And that's a good thing. But that word forgetting means, yeah, you did it, but it no longer applies to you. Amen. So forget about it. Just forget about it. Because remember, if you don't forget about it, if you don't make it a point to forget about it, the devil's going to keep bringing it up, and it's going to cause you to stop moving forward. Because you're going to think you're not worthy. When did the Apostle Paul say, God, I'm not fit to bring the gospel to the Gentiles because of all the people I've had put to death? When did he say that? When did Peter say, Jesus, you know, I denied you 3 times. I mean, I ran like a scared rabbit. I'm not the one to teach the people. No, go find someone else. But Jesus, he disregarded those things. He didn't take away David's crown. Okay? And David was guilty of murder. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. Not because God likes killers. God likes folks who repent. You repent and got it right. Okay? But that verse, forgetting, is saying, stop thinking about it and put it out of your mind. You put it behind you. You wipe it. We're waiting for someone to wipe our slate clean. You wipe it clean. You wipe. Are you a new creature? Excuse me. Are you a new creature in Christ Jesus?
Yes.
Then you wipe it clean. The blood of Jesus has already cleaned it. It's all covered by the blood. As far as God is concerned, it no longer exists. And that's just the word forgetting. Okay. But what are we to forget? Well, according to the scripture, it says we forgetting those things that are behind. See, one of the things that plagues us as a people, as human beings, is that now suddenly folks are going back into the past and finding out things that someone of prominence has done, and they're bringing it to the surface, you know, to just destroy. There's no other benefit. They're just trying to destroy and cause chaos. And we, meaning the body of Christ, is right in the thick of it. We're in agreement with it. So how do you say that? Well, I see what folks post who are believers, who lead congregations, who mentor pastors, and they're in agreement with this sort of behavior. Because saying, that's true. Okay. What will we find if we go into your past? Do you want that brought up? Okay. No. If God says forgetting those things which are behind, then we need to forget those things which are behind. Remember, forgetting means that it was something that may have been true. But behind, in the Greek, it categorically describes something so obsolete that it should be permanently relegated to the back or to the past, abandoned or left behind. Permanently relegated, that's in the back. It should never be in the forefront of our thoughts, conversations, nothing, ever, because it's the past. It's behind, and we're supposed to forget about them. If there's anything that's in your past, it needs to stay in your past.
Amen.
Stop bringing it to the surface. He says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching. See, the past is not a prophecy of your future. And you need to understand that. You may want to write that down. The past is not a prophecy of your future. But your future is not going to happen without your cooperation. Now is the time to focus on the future, and with the help of the Holy Ghost, this year should be the best year of your life. You'll gain victories that you've never had if your focus stays on your future and if you keep reaching out to grab your future, not your past. You need to forget about that person doesn't exist anymore. And don't let anyone perform CPR. Okay. All you have to say is, I'm going to forget my past. I'm too busy going after my future. Because it's my future that God promised me. Right? He said he's given me hope in a future. He didn't say, I'm going to drag up your past and mush your face in it. But that's what so forget about. Everybody not everybody. I guess most people, beginning of the year, they fool themselves. They call them resolutions, with the things that they're going to do. And, everybody starts out with great intent. But something happens, and you don't meet them. And folks get stuck. Say, I should have done this, I should have done this, I should have done this. Maybe you should have, but it's over now. That's right. So you didn't do it then, but you have a whole new year. Yes. A whole new year to get it done. A whole new year to start. There are a lot of things that I wish I had done differently last year. I can't do anything about them. Because last year is gone. We're in a new year. All I can do is what I need to do this year. What I need to do right now. I mean, but that word reaching forth, the words, it's a triple compound word. And it gives the image of a runner who's running with all of his might towards the finish line. And as he approaches the goal, he leans forward. He leans forward because he wants to get there first. And finally, when he's almost there, he leans even further to get to that goal. That's what that reaching forth is. It's that leaning. It's that stretching. It's that pressing. It's that pushing to get across the line. That's when they in the New York City Marathon, I think the world-class runners run it in about 2.5 hours. I don't think I could drive 26 miles in. If I could drive 26 miles in 2.5 hours, unless you're on the Long Island Expressway or Route 80 at the wrong time of the day. But you have these runners that they do in about 2.5 hours. Then you have some that take 12, 14, 16, 18 hours. Everybody that's supposed to be at the finish line to greet the runners stay there until the last runner comes in. If it took them 2 days to come in, they're going to stay there, and they're going to give him his participation medal and certificate, and then they'll pack up and go home. So as long as someone is in the race, someone's always there at the finish line to greet you. But if you drop out of the race, they don't stay there. They leave. Why am I telling you this? Doesn't matter how long it takes you to finish, stay in the race. Amen. Until you finish. Yes. Period. Stop putting unrealistic time frames on things. God already said when you would receive. He said, in due season. That's what he said. In due season, you shall reap if you faint not, if you don't quit. If you don't quit, you will reap. You will get it. If you stay in the race, you will cross the finish line. But if you get out of the race, you won't. And it's, see, we'll get out of the race and then get upset with the officials. Say, well, they didn't stay there. You left the race. I mean, just stay in the race. Everything is set up for you, but you have to stay there. If you're going to reach, you have to give your best effort. That's all. You can reach the finish line. You can win. But there has to be a firm commitment that you're doing your best, that you're going to stay in this race no matter what comes. Now, 2019, it's not going to be, you know, a hearts and flowers, smooth sailing year. There's going to be stuff that comes up, as it is in any year. And if you want to be successful, you're going to have to stick to it. You got to forget. See, this is what happened to me last year. And it happened to me the year before that. Stop speaking that stuff into existence. You're having what you say. So we're not putting up with this again. No, that died. When 2019 came in, that stayed back in 2018. We're not putting up with this stuff this year. Let that be your confession. Instead of, no, here it comes again. Or worse than that, I knew this was going to happen. This always happens to me. You speak things into existence. Run your race with patience. Stop thinking about how long you have to run. Stop thinking about how long it's going to take. Concentrate, focus on training your body, training your thinking, training your spirit so it can endure whatever the distance is. Because, see, I don't know if they do this race anymore, but there used to be a race called a steeplechase, where part of it was running and sprinting and jumping over stuff and things like that. And that's what we need to train for. Because we don't know what type of, the race that we run is going to include sprinting, distance, hurdles, obstacles. So we have to train for all of that. And we need to be ready because obstacles don't broadcast. They don't say, on March 17th, 2019, I'm coming at you with this. So you better get ready. No, it doesn't say that. And even if it did, folks would ignore it. And by the way, while we're on that subject, I was going to say this earlier. It's 2019. You need to go and get physicals. You need to go and have your temples inspected. Make sure that there are no termites or carpenter ants. or any other parasites that have slipped their way in, you know, beneath your radar. Go and get your physicals. Take this CAT scan, the MRI, whatever scans they want to. Go get your temples checked. Too many folks checked out of here because they waited too long. So get your body. We don't want you going home before. Yeah. We want to go home to be with the Lord when we're supposed to. Okay? We don't want to go prematurely. So get these temples inspected. It's just, we had an issue downstairs because inspections weren't done properly. Next thing we know, wallpaper pops off the wall because there was mold behind it. No one knew it was growing, but if it was inspected, you'd have seen traces of it. And then you correct it before it gets to be a problem. See? So get your temple maintenance done. But this is your time to experience the result of your training. That's what the race will expose whether or not you're properly trained. See, I don't have to do it. I don't have to watch over you. Go to everybody. Are you reading your Bible? Are you meditating on the Word? That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to tell you you need to meditate on the Word day and night. That's my responsibility. Your responsibility is to do it. And you think, well, Pastor won't know. Yeah, Pastor will know. No, it's not the Holy Ghost isn't going to tell me. Something's going to come up and you're going to come and ask for a meeting. And we're going to know. And that's not to say don't ask for a meeting because Pastor Greg's going to know we didn't do what we should have done. No, sometimes things just happen. You need further information. But Pastor Clinton, one of the first, as a matter of fact, was the first conference type conversation I had with Pastor Clinton was over the phone. And he said to me, obviously you weren't listening when I was teaching on Sunday. And he was right. So when we enter into a race or we face a circumstance and we're not properly trained, guess what we do? We give up. We think, I'm not special. You know, this isn't what, or we say, you know, this isn't what God wants me to do. It may be what God wants you to do, but you haven't trained yourself to get it done. See, the problem is not the race. The problem is not the circumstance. The problem is we're not receiving the training that we need so that we can endure. No, how many do we have in here that are still in high school? Just raise your hand. Okay. How would you feel if you got to high school and you were taught nothing? And then they give you a college prep test to take. I don't know what they give up here, ACT or PSAT or what. They put this test in front of you and have given you no training. No knowledge. Just here, do this. I know in some places it seems like that anyway. You know. But you wouldn't like that very much. But we'll see, God doesn't do that. God knows the plans he has for you. He knows what's going to come your way. He knows when it's going to come. And he's going to give you opportunities to get yourself ready for it before it comes. And whether or not we take what he provides for us is on us. It's on us. And God being sovereign, he already knows who's going to listen and who's not. So he has a contingency plan. So when you fall flat on your face, he has someone there to pick you back up, put that back behind you, and set you right back on the right path, facing you in the right direction, and tell you, now go ahead. See, don't get upset when folks come and tell you these hard sayings. You need them. A haphazard, take it easy, don't be too hard on yourself approach will not produce any significant change in your life. You have to be hard on you. You have to discipline you so that you do everything the way God wants it done. So that we can finish the race. We want, if we don't do it God's way, we're going to be caught up in the past. No matter what happens, no matter how we try, we're going to keep, our past is always going to be there. And it trips you up. It's like you're running and your hands grabbing at your legs. That's what your past is like, if you let it. And what I want you to understand, it's very important that you understand it, The only person that can stop your past from affecting you is you. God can do anything, but he won't do that. What God did was he empowered us to handle it. And now we have to handle it. He gave, now think about it. Your past coming up is just the power of the devil. And he gave us power over all the power of the devil. So we keep asking God to do things that he's empowered us to do. And we're wondering why he's not moving. He's already moved. Saying, God, take this away. He's like, I already empowered you to do that. God, please take this away. I already empowered you to do that. No, God, I'm not playing. You really need to take this away. I already empowered you to do that. God, I can't take this anymore. Who said you had to? I can't sleep. I hear these voices. Everything's going on. I want it to stop. I've already empowered you to do it. You speak to it, and you keep speaking to it until it stops. And then you keep speaking to it so it doesn't come back. But it's going to bullies are going to keep bothering you until they realize it's no longer in their best interest. And then they'll find somebody else, but they'll leave you alone. But that bully's not going to stop because he thinks you've had enough. No, he's going to keep going and keep going and keep going until you do something. And once you do something, the bully realizes it's not worth bothering this person anymore. And it bothers someone else. But if you, all I'm trying to say, if you allow it, it's going to happen. If you don't want to get tripped up by your past, forget it. If you don't forget it, it's going to trip you up. I'm recommending you leave your past behind. That's where it belongs. We're not going back. We're moving ahead. We're not going back. We're moving ahead. It's a new year. We have a brand new start. We have new opportunities. Anything that we didn't do that we should have done, repent, and forget about it. Repent, forget about it, move forward. God is very good. God is better. You know, we have an app on our phone called Waze, which is really very good. I mean, it's and what I like about it is we can be on a direction and it's we found a better route.
Yes.
And then if you listen to it, it is a better route. There are times when I would make the choice, I don't know that route, I'm staying where I am. And take much longer to get where I'm going.
Yes.
We had to go to Long Island, and this time I said, whatever Waze says, I'm going to do.
Yes.
When we set out, it said it was going to take 2 hours and 28 minutes to get home. I followed, it made some directions on the way. We got home in, 2 hours and 5 minutes? It took 20 minutes off our travel time. All I had to do was follow the instructions. Even though in ways I would have never thought to go. I mean, it took us down through City Island and all these different things. Like, I don't want to go to City Island. I want to get to Nanuet. But no, we're just following it. We get on the parkway and we look, and behind us is a standstill. It took us all, it routed us all around the congestion. Why am I telling you that? Because that's what God does. He'll put you on the right path, and if things come up in front of you, he'll give you some on-the-spot instructions. He'll reroute you,
yes.
If necessary. Or he may tell you, keep going. And you see an obstacle there, and he says, no, you stay on this road. Stay on the road. Because God said so. So when you get there, this obstacle is here. By the time you get to the obstacle, something's going to happen to move it out of the way so you can continue going. Right? For every mountain, you've brought me over. For every trial, you've brought me through. So we're going to go over, under, around, or through. I mean, that's, all I know is whatever was there won't be there when I get there. And that's the way you want to look at it. See, but what happens if you get to that place and it's still there? You follow your instructions. Yes. If he tells me to keep going forward, I'm just going to keep going forward. I mean, that's all I'm going to do. And whatever has to happen, that's between that thing and God. I'm following his instructions. I'm just going. That's all. I don't want to hear the last person that tried that. This is what happened. That's not me. Okay. I don't care about the last person. As a matter of fact, the last person is me. Okay. We need to think about that. It's like playing, not showing up to the gym because the team's undefeated. They haven't played us yet. Of course they're undefeated. And what if at the end of the game they're ahead? So what? We'll see them again. I'm not going to, you know, throw my sneakers away because I lost the game. You keep going. You practice harder. You figure out what went wrong, and you keep going. You keep going. You don't. I. The only thing that I would remember is if someone did something over the top. You know, if someone hit me with like a cheap shot elbow or something like that, I remembered those things. You know, if they beat us, they beat us. Next game, different story. You know, I didn't go around, oh man, they beat us last time. What are we going to do? No, the game is over. But I remember what he did. And he's got to pay for what he did. But I didn't stay home because we played a team and they won that time. That wasn't for a trophy. That was a regular season game. Let's see what happens when all the marbles are on the line. You know, let's see what happens then. But the key for us as believers, folks, every time we go out there, all the marbles are on the line. And we have to go out there like this is the last game in the series. You know, I don't teach much, and I've thought about it a number of times. I don't teach much about end times. I don't. The reason I don't is because, first of all, Jesus said nobody knows the hour. You know. So I'm not going to try and figure out when it's going to happen. Jesus said it's going to come. I was talking to someone, and I said, If someone asked me, when do I think Jesus is coming back, I'm going to answer by saying, when is the burglar coming to your house? Because that the word says he's coming as a thief in the night. He said, two people are going to be in the field, one's going to go. And one's going to remain. You know, so I'm figuring, okay, so why try and figure out when he's coming? Yeah, you know, there's signs and seasons. I get that. But the point is, if I believe that Jesus is coming soon, why am I not out there being about his business? That's the agreement I have with God. I'm going to tell you, this is what we should be doing as believers. If you think Jesus is coming soon, you should be doing more of it. You'd be doing it faster. We don't have time for all it. If we think he's coming soon, why are we getting caught up in all this other nonsense? You know, if he's coming soon, then let's act like it. Let's go out, or do we want him to come and leave and people get left behind? No, we want to get everybody saved. Yes. So if we really think Jesus is coming again soon, why aren't we out there doing that? You know, don't try and figure out when he's coming. Do what he said. And next thing you know, you'll be hearing, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Because that's what it's all about. It's not a contest. He said, Jesus is coming, and the things that folks do. And if you did that in the past, forget it. It's the past. It's behind you. But from today on, we're going toward the future. And the future is stretching out for the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Stretching out. Yes. Leaning forward. Forward as far, as hard as you can stretch and lean and reach. That's what God expects us to do.